healthy relationships. Going healthy relationships. Social isolation, such as we're going through right now, can have obviously a very dark downside, but it can also have wonderful benefits. I'm thinking of some of the benefits that in our own household, Teresa, myself, and our daughter Melanie walk each afternoon. And when we do go walking, because our daughter Melanie is in a wheelchair, it is amazing. I have seen neighbours come out that I didn't even know lived there. I didn't know who they were. I don't remember ever having seen their faces even previously. Another thing, and this is perhaps a surprising one, we've gotten to know all the different dogs. We know which households have dogs in them. I've even gotten to know some of the names of the dogs. One of the early times we were walking down our street and our daughter's wheelchair makes a certain clickety-clack sort of sound, so really brings dogs out. And I heard someone yelling out, "Shut up, Irwin! Shut up, Irwin!" And I'm thinking, Irwin, and as I looked over, there's a beagle dog that's barking at me. And I'm thinking, Irwin is the name of a dog? And I thought, if my parents called me Irwin, I'd be barking at anyone going by too. So there are positives and there are negatives. Of course, one of the strong negatives is that people become very edgy with each other. And again, walking up and down our own street and in our own neighborhood, we have seen some evidence of that. People suddenly find themselves experiencing and feeling very, very lonely, and perhaps more lonely than they have felt for a long, long time. It's interesting that in Australia, loneliness is a very real, real problem. Can I just say my slides are not working? So one in four Australians say that they feel lonely every single week. Not a single week goes by without one in four Australians saying that they feel lonely. 60% of Australians say they have experienced significant loneliness in their lifetime. And I find it interesting that when they break it up into the various age groupings, those who experience and those who express they're the most lonely are those between the ages of 16 and 24. And that surprised me. I honestly would have thought it would have been the older age group. But the older age group, certainly in Western nations, seems to be right down the bottom end compared to those who are much, much younger. Now, I want to touch this morning on two core principles that I believe can ultimately help us overcome loneliness. The cure for loneliness is fulfilling, healthy relationships. God shows us in the Bible a pattern for fulfilling, healthy relationships. When we think of loneliness, of course, we think of people, and I recognize that. But I do see a very strong parallel between having a healthy relationship with God and having a healthy relationship with people. Now, I'm aware that very often we have heard preaching that has said that we can come to God on our own terms, that walking with God is very easy and it can be very informal. But I just want to put to you that I think the Scripture positions itself in a slightly different way. And I have looked from one end of the Bible to the other, from the beginning to the end. And it struck me that every person in the Bible, from Adam right through, who enjoyed a fulfilling relationship with God, came to God because God had offered them a covenant. A covenant. So a covenant was an agreement between two or more parties describing how they would relate to each other. Covenants normally contain promises, and they normally contain conditions to be fulfilled for those promises to be fulfilled. When you look at the major characters of the Bible, you don't find any that enjoyed a relationship with God without coming to Him through covenant. God made His first covenant with Adam. He made a covenant with Noah, with Abraham, with Israel, with King David. And of course we know the ultimate covenant, the final covenant, was the covenant that was made through the Lord Jesus with we who are in Christ, who have become Christians. So, because covenant is God's only way of bringing people into real relationship with Himself, I want to take two principles that relate to covenant, and I want to apply them to beginning and then maintaining a real and satisfying relationship, not just with God, but with all kinds of relationships. So the first one is this: healthy relationships are entered by grace freely. The right to have a healthy relationship does not have to be earned. It doesn't have to be worked for. And I come back to how God began each of the covenants. God initiated each of the covenants we find from one end of Scripture to the other by grace. He sought a people, then He offered them an agreement with Himself. He didn't wait till they were good enough. He didn't wait till they'd earned the right. He offered the covenant to them very, very freely. He never made someone earn that relationship and then offer them the covenant. So, let me just say, healthy relationships are entered into freely. Healthy relationships are not entered into under compulsion. If someone said to me, "Jeff, I know things about you that you would not want anyone else knowing. And I want you to be my friend. And I want you to go places with me and do things with me. And if you don't, I'm going to make these things known." That would be a relationship, but it would be a relationship under compulsion. God does not enter relationship with people making them feel they are under compulsion. So the first thing, healthy relationships are entered by grace and they are entered freely. The second thing, and I want to spend a bit more time with this one, healthy relationships grow by maintaining commitment to that relationship. I'll read that again. Healthy relationships grow by maintaining commitment to that relationship. If I wanted to grow a garden, and say a veggie garden, and what say someone came to me and they said to me, "Jeff, here are the seeds for the garden. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to actually dig up the ground for you, and I'm going to actually plant the seeds for you." So that would be grace. They would be doing all this for me. They would be giving me all that I need. Now what would my part be? My part would be maintaining the garden. My part would be weeding the garden. My part would be watering the garden. My part would be making sure that the garden is growing. And so this is the parallel. God by grace brings us into a relationship. But then what happens is that He calls on us to maintain that relationship. So covenants normally contain promises and conditions to be fulfilled, for the promises to be fulfilled. And if I don't fulfill the conditions, I can't expect to see the promises fulfilled. And this begins to answer the dilemma. Why some Christians in their life, they seem to fly ahead with God, and other Christians seem to really, really struggle, and they wonder why promises that they may see in Scripture may not be being fulfilled in their life. They're just not seeing the growth. They're not seeing in their life what they see in some other lives. I think how in my own life I became a Christian at the age of 17, but for the next 2.5 years I drifted away from God. And in that time of drifting, I saw other Christians that were enjoying their Christian life. I was not enjoying mine. I always felt guilty because I was moving away from God. I was not seeing promises fulfilled because I was not fulfilling the conditions to see those promises fulfilled. So even though I looked at my life and I wanted what others had, I was not maintaining the relationship. See, so once we become a Christian, experiencing the fullness of salvation is dependent on our ongoing response to God. And over many years, I've seen Christians that have held on to resentments and to unforgiveness. I've seen Christians that have turned to a very fleshly way of life. I've seen Christians who have allowed their thinking to become no different to the thinking of the world. I've seen Christians who have not taken the time to build healthy, godly disciplines. They don't discipline themselves to read the Bible each day. They don't discipline themselves to have an active prayer life. They don't discipline themselves to be actively involved in a local church. Now, I know right now with this pandemic going on that that's something that is not able to be done. We're not able to physically gather together. But if we don't have that discipline in our life, if we didn't have it before the pandemic, then it's going to be so much harder when the isolation restrictions are lifted. So these are godly disciplines, and if we don't build these disciplines into our lives, we will not see a fulfillment of all the wonderful promises and grow in the salvation that God offers us. And then, of course, we will turn around and we'll blame God and we'll say, God's the problem. And all along, God won't be the problem. We will be the problem. And I think that in the time when I drifted away from God, I could have blamed Him for everything going on. The problem wasn't in God. The problem was in me. So the health of a relationship with God is maintained through commitment to that relationship. So if I could just summarize what I'm saying this morning. Number one, covenant with God is entered by grace freely. Relationship with God is entered by grace freely. My slider isn't working here. So healthy relationships are entered entirely by grace. Entirely by grace. If someone puts on you that you have to live up to someone or something to even enter into that relationship, that's not going to be a healthy relationship. Any relationship that you're in under compulsion has the earmark of not being a healthy relationship. And the second thing, that the promised covenant fulfillment grows by maintaining the commitment to the covenant. That is, by fulfilling the covenant conditions. So when I bring that back to healthy relationships, healthy relationships grow by continuing commitment to the health of those relationships. So next time I want to look at some of the causes for a relationship breaking down. I want to look at what happens. Again, I want to just parallel what happens in our relationship with God. And I want you to see how there is a distinct parallel between the breakdown of a relationship with God and our relationship with others. I'm going to pray. Father, I do commit to you every person who is watching this live stream. Father, I do pray for your Spirit to quicken in us the need to maintain the relationship. Father, you brought us into this relationship by grace. Grace will permeate every part of the relationship. Father, I just pray that you'll help us take up our responsibility to maintain the relationship, to keep that relationship, again, permeated by grace, but to keep that relationship healthy and wholesome in every way. But Father, I do pray this in the name and for the extension of the extraordinary kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. I thank you for being part of what we have been doing here this morning. And can I just remind you again that